In the name of the Holy and Glorious Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? What a ridiculous question. We are emerging out of a 15-month global pandemic that has disrupted every aspect of our lives. If any of us had no prior experience of feeling overwhelmed, this pandemic has certainly changed that. But even without something as disruptive as a pandemic, life is overwhelming. Raising children, caring for aging parents, finding our identity as we enter into adulthood, deciding which college to attend, receiving a medical diagnosis, dealing with conflicts, battling an addiction, struggling with debt, getting through a stressful project at work, figuring out how to reopen a church in a way that does not frustrate or alienate both those who are tired of masks and those who think that they are still essential for everyone's safety, or even just watching the news. We can be overwhelmed in so many ways that it can feel like we are drowning. And when we think of being overwhelmed, our minds usually go to the negative, but we can also be overwhelmed in positive ways. The beauty of a sunset, the majesty of a Beethoven symphony, holding a newborn in our arms, the glorious smell of incense. These sorts of things overwhelm our senses and emotions in good ways. Now, as you might know, the word whelm means to engulf, flow, submerge, or heap up abundantly. So to be underwhelmed is to have less than an abundance, and to be overwhelmed is to have more than we can handle. And life really is overwhelming. It is more than we can handle. And so what do we do with this overwhelmingness? Well, for one, we deny it. Me, oh, I'm doing just fine. But we can only tread water for so long. Eventually, we will tire and be overwhelmed by the waters of chaos. Another way we deal with it is using that old adage, all things in moderation. But that simply doesn't cut it. Think of medicine. If your physician prescribed you 3 pills a day, but you decide to take just one, the medicine is not going to do what it is supposed to do. It was certainly true before the pandemic, and it is my fervent prayer that it does not continue after the pandemic. A moderated faith. Between vacations, sports, yard work, and rest, church became one of those things that overwhelmed our weekends. And so, in order to make things more manageable, we saw regular church attendance go from meaning being at church 3 to 4 Sundays a month to meaning once every 4 to 5 weeks. And across our society, what did we see during this last year? People who were overwhelmed and did not have a spiritual or religious foundation to get them through it. I've talked to a couple of therapists who have told me that the wait for a new client to get an appointment is at least 6 months. We know that alcohol sales rose significantly in the past year. We've heard stories about the 19 in COVID-19 representing the number of pounds that stress eating added. Now, I'm not saying that coming to church is going to make your life easier or more manageable. But I am saying that a robust set of faith practices instead of a moderated faith will give us the foundation to weather the overwhelming storms of life. As Jesus said in one parable, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. It is my hope and my prayer that the Holy Spirit uses this pandemic to rekindle the fire of faith within our community. No, dilution or moderation is not a solution to our being overwhelmed, as watering things down is not helpful nor is denying reality going to work. What might we do then in the face of being overwhelmed by life? Well, the first thing that we can do is to be honest and just say, I am overwhelmed. Everyone knows it, but most of us are afraid to admit it. Naming the truth is a powerful and holy act, and in this simple act of acknowledging that we are all overwhelmed, we gain a sense of agency in being overwhelmed. No, we can't change the fact that we are overwhelmed, but we can change our focus on what is overwhelming us. We can allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by worries, by stress, by uncertainty, by hatred, by anger. Or we can give ourselves over to being overwhelmed by God's abundant grace, love, and mercy. The truth is that we are all overwhelmed. And so instead of running from it, we can acknowledge that we are overwhelmed and remind ourselves that we are also overwhelmed by the grandeur of God. And God is so much bigger, deeper, and life-giving than all of those other things that overwhelm us. This is what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus in the reading we heard from John. Unless you are born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this confuses Nicodemus, partially because that phrase, born from above, can also mean born again. And Nicodemus is overwhelmingly confused by the notion of being born a second time. And so Jesus clarifies, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. Now clearly there is baptismal imagery going on here. And what is baptism other than the sacramental sign and seal of being overwhelmed by God's grace and love? Whether you were dunked in water or just had a little bit of water sprinkled on your head when you were an infant, baptism is about being united to Christ and thereby being buried with him in the overwhelmingness of sin and death, to then share in his overwhelming and abundant resurrection life. To be a Christian is to be overwhelmed by God's love. To trust that there is more love in God than there is sin, doubt, or stress in our lives. And that is what today, the Feast of the Holy Trinity, is all about. I'm not going to try to explain what it means when we say that God is one and that God is Trinity. That is a mystery. And a mystery is that which can only be known by revelation. None of us can fully understand the holiness or the glory of the Trinity, but we can still allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by God's salvation, peace, and presence. Consider Isaiah. There he is in the throne room of God Almighty. If there has ever been an overwhelming experience, this is it. There he is in the heavenly temple. And the idea was that the heavenly temple is a grander version of the temple that was in Jerusalem, which was quite large and spectacular. And in this grand throne room, how much of God did Isaiah get to see? The hem of the Lord's robe. That's it. God is so overwhelming that the heavenly throne room is overwhelmed with just one tiny bit of thread at the bottom of a robe. When it comes to the mystery and the majesty of the Holy Trinity, Isaiah's encounter ought to remind us of our need for humility. It would be as if I was telling you about someone that I had just met the other day and you wanted to know about this person. And the most that I could tell you is, well, she had green shoelaces. Yes, by the gift of revelation, we do know some things about God. But let us never forget that God will always overwhelm us. Isaiah then notices seraphim hovering around the throne of God. Now, what a seraph is, we can't exactly say. They have six wings and loud voices. The word seraph is related to the Hebrew word for burn. So these are fiery beings of some sort. And Isaiah recounts that the whole house of the Lord was filled with smoke, which tells us that these seraphim are something like heavenly thoroughfares, filling the temple with incense. And in addition to the incense, it seems that the seraphim are there to sing praises about the overwhelmingness of God as they call to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, you might recognize those as the words of the Sanctus. Sanctus simply is the Latin translation of holy. We sing it at the Eucharist. Isaiah tells us that this song is sung at the very throne of God, which is why when we say those words at the Eucharist, you'll notice that I always bow, because we are joining our voices with the seraphim to praise God who is high and lofty on the throne. In the Eucharist, we are brought into God's holy presence and are made to stand before the throne of God. And so I think that it is meet and right to bow down. And I would commend the practice to you as well. And that song, "Holy, holy, holy," speaks to the overwhelmingness of God. Holy in Hebrew is a word that means brightness or distinctness. And saying it three times is something like bolding, underlining, and putting an exclamation mark on it. God is holy. God is not like us because God is overwhelming and radiant. And we also understand this thrice holy points us to the deepest essence of God, which we proclaim today, that God the Father is holy, God the Son is holy, and God the Spirit is holy. Holy, 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 blessed Trinity. The heavenly hosts know this song, and by God's grace, we have been taught how to praise God with them. Notice what Isaiah does next. He names the fact that he's overwhelmed. He says, "Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He does not deny his sinfulness or say that he's not quite ready to be there. No, he is completely unprepared and unworthy to be here. But then God makes it clear that God's overwhelming mercy and forgiveness are given to Isaiah. Now, Isaiah had his vision, and we have been given a different vision. We may not have had a live coal touch our lips, but our guilt has departed, and our sins are blotted out. Our vision comes not from the throne room of God, but on a hill just outside the city walls of Jerusalem, where God the Son was enthroned on a Roman cross. And though a coal did not touch our lips, a sound was heard in our ears. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Our guilt has been taken away. Being forgiven, Isaiah then responds to God's question, "Who will go for us?" by saying, "Here I am, send me." Jesus has given us a similar commission. "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In other words, get out there and tell people about the overwhelming holiness and abundant love of God, and then immerse them into this reality of being forgiven, being freed, and being sent. Without a doubt, life is overwhelming. On Trinity Sunday, we are given the gift of knowing something of the overwhelming nature and essence of God. That God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That God is holy, holy, holy. And that the whole earth is full of God's glory. And this means that we can be overwhelmed by a love that is the deepest truth of our lives, overwhelmed by a grace that is beyond all deserving, overwhelmed by forgiveness that overcomes all sin, overwhelmed by a peace that passes all understanding, overwhelmed by a resurrection that makes all things new. And in the face of such overwhelming grace and glory, we need not deny or diminish the fact that we are overwhelmed, but rather to allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the glory, the majesty, and the holiness of the Holy Trinity. In being overwhelmed by God, we find the gift of knowing that all shall be well.